And now, it's time for the Yacht Club Show with Killer, Rev D, Dr. Jim, and Coach.
Greetings, Yacht Club Show listeners. This is Mike, sometimes affectionately known as Killer, with a couple of things to share. First, the Yacht Club Show is going on temporary hiatus. We thought it'd be in everyone's best interest if we just lied low for a little while. That said, I'm going to use the opportunity to talk about God. God the Father. The same God that Christians, Jews, and Muslims worship, all in different ways, but ultimately we're talking about the Father, the creator of our universe, Allah, Yahweh, the big guy. And it's my hope that it just sparks or reignites something in people that have maybe fallen away or de-emphasized the importance of God in their lives. So who is God? How would you describe him? Remember, it's written that God created man in his own image. So maybe there's a little bit more that we can relate to than we've ever considered. And to really bring that home, I've got a recording of a talk that a Father Emery Tang gave, probably 20 years ago. Franciscan Father Emery Tang was an educator and a retreat master and a photographer. And he spread the message of God is love. And what I've got here is a recording of the prodigal son. And I want you to listen closely because I think you're going to hear it with a fresh set of ears and a new perspective. And I think it's very important that you really tune in to what happens when the prodigal son returns. It's told so beautifully by Father Tang that I think for many of you, it'll invoke an emotional response. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Father Emery Tang.
Now, this man had two sons. The younger son one day said to his father, now you think of this son as swaggering, lazy, leather jacket, cigarette dangling out, chomping gum, wearing shades, and he's not done any work in all his life. He comes up to his father and he says, old man, give me my share of the estate. Now, just like that, give it to me. Now, what would a human father do? He'd say, you lazy, good for nothing, you get out of here, and the day you do some work, you can start coming around asking and all this stuff. See? Now, how does Jesus tell it? So, the moment he asked, the father divided the property between them. He allowed him the freedom to goof off. He knew very well what that kid was going to do with that money. He knew very well the kid was undeserving. But he says, okay, I promise to you, here it is. See how important that is? My good is what God wants for me, and that is the freedom to make my mistakes, okay? Freedom to be. All right, so a few days later, the kid got everything together he had and left for a distant country, all of which are very picturesque. To tell you, this kid went far away where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. That means going the limit. But the point is that his father is not letting a trick go by. He knows very well what's going on. So we who are so easily scandalized, we think these things, terrible, horrible. His father is not scandalized by that. Let him be. When he had spent it all, the country experienced a severe famine. When a famine comes, it's like a drought. There's no food. Now, Jesus said, he began to feel the pinch. What happened when he had all that money? Just going out, there's nothing coming in. There's simple economics. So he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. Now, when Jesus told it, that's exactly what he did, probably. He fed pigs. And he was so hungry he would willingly have filled his dully with a husk the pigs were eating. No one offered him anything. Of course not. You're out there on a limb by yourself. Then he came to his senses. This is the psychology of it all. Once you're at the bottom, no way to go but up. How many of my father's paid servants have more than they want, and here I'm starving to death? I'm going to leave this place and go back to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants. Now, is that a real confession? Is he really sorry because of what he's done to his father, how he's disappointed his father, or is he scared for his own hide? What do you think? He wants food in his stomach. He realizes there's no way to starve myself. So he left the place and went back to his father. He went back. That's the conversion. Make that U-turn, go back. But he made a turn. That's what's important, as Jesus points out here. Now here comes the most beautiful passage, which ties in with everything we've been talking about. While he was still a long way off, way out there, a speck on the horizon, his father saw him. He, the father, ran to the boy. Can you imagine that? The father, God, running down the road to the boy. Now that's Jesus' picture of his father. He ran to the boy. He clasped him in his arms, smelling like a pig, as low as you can go, and kissed him tenderly. Ah, what a picture. Jesus tells us what his father did. That's extraordinary. Then the son started his little spiel. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I don't deserve to be called your son. The father not even listening. He says to the servants, hurry up, bring out the best robe, best. Not just a cast off, put it on him, a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, clean him up. Bring the calf we've been fattening. The calf we've been fattening just for this occasion. For that kid, all he deserved was a kick in the pants, as some people would say. We're going to have a feast, a celebration, because this son of mine was dead, okay? He's come back to life. That's what's important. It's possible to come back to life. So when Jesus says, don't condemn, he's talking about this. Don't give up. He was lost and he's found, and they began to celebrate. Now that should be the end of the story, except it's not. Jesus said, wait a minute, don't go away. The elder son was out in the fields. On his way back, as he drew near the house, he could hear all his music and dancing, and he's puzzled. He says, calling one of the servants over, he said, what the hell's going on around here? Now, I do that on purpose and to get effect. But that's exactly the way humans talk. When they're angry and jealous, what the hell is going on? Implying, I'm getting cheated. And so the servant needles him a little bit. Your brother, you know, the slob, he's back. And your father, he killed a calf. Would you believe he killed a calf? And by now, you know, he's like a fiery red furnace, just ready to explode. And Jesus says he was angry. And he refused to go in. So he stood there with his lower lip out and back to the house, stubborn, angry, hurt. And his father, God, came out to plead with him. To plead with him. And he said to his father, look, all these years I've slaved for you and I never once disobeyed your orders. Goody, goody, two shoes. I'm perfect. I'm virtuous. Never done anything wrong. I must be very pleasing to God. We just miss the point all the time. That has nothing to do with whether you're pleasing to God or not. It's just you. You're pleasing to God. He loves you. I never disobeyed your orders, yet you never offered me so much as a kid to celebrate with my friends. See? Was he doing it to be paid? And the father said, my son, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. Not because you earned it, because I gave it to you. But it was only right we should celebrate and rejoice, because your brother here was dead, he's come back to life, he's lost, but now he's found. How about that? That's the Father that the Son tells us about. He forgives us before we ask for it.
Hope you enjoyed that. Until next time.
If you can find a better podcast, listen to it.